All right, hello everyone. This is Michael Zobel here. We're talking about parathyroid disease. I'm here with Dr. Shen. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Shen. Just to start out with, what's kind of some of your big main philosophies when it comes to working up these patients preoperatively?
So the most common condition that you're going to encounter, both clinically but also on your tests, is primary hyperparathyroidism, which I think will be the focus for the session. And the way I think about working up and diagnosing patients with primary hyperparathyroidism is really the way Dr. Quan Yang Du, my mentor and boss, taught me when I was a student and resident. And we try to keep it to three very simple principles, okay, or three steps, really, in how you work up a patient with primary hyperparathyroidism. So the number one thing, you're going to get a patient sent to you or you're going to get called for a consult. Number one thing is, does the patient actually have the diagnosis? Because there are other conditions, which we can go into more detail during the lecture, that can mimic primary hyperparathyroidism. And then you go down this kind of long path. Some patients end up in the operating room when they didn't need it in the first place. Number one thing, does the patient have the biochemical diagnosis? And that's going to be based upon your blood, serum calcium and PTH. And then there's some other adjunctive tests that you can do to help seal that diagnosis. But does the patient have the diagnosis? That's number one. And a key offshoot of that principle is imaging studies do not make the diagnosis. So a lot of patients will end up in your office with an imaging study that's positive, but they don't have the diagnosis, and it's a false positive, and you're basically stuck because now you have something that you see on an x-ray and that you're expected to operate on, but you're not sure the patient actually has it. So the diagnosis is purely biochemical. And that's a basic principle in all of endocrine surgery. That's number one. Number two, so this next step, does the patient have the diagnosis? Step two is, does the patient have an indication for surgical treatment? And we'll go into some of the details with the guidelines. There are NIH guidelines for asymptomatic patients. And also, the very basic thing is that if the patient has any of the kind of sequelae of the disease, the stuff you learned in med school, the stones, bones, groans, and all that stuff, that's a do not pass go. Those patients go to surgery. The guidelines that we go into are for asymptomatic patients, and there's a lot of debate as to what actually constitutes an asymptomatic patient. So we'll think about and talk about that. The third step, that's only then do you start doing localizing and imaging studies. So only after you've made the diagnosis and established the patient has an indication for surgery do you start ordering imaging studies. If the patient is not a candidate for surgery or you're not quite sure about the diagnosis, don't go down the garden path of ordering imaging studies, because all that will do is kind of cloud the water and make you either more inclined to operate on a patient that may not need it or make you feel worried because you find something but the patient's not a candidate for surgery, and then everyone's saying, why aren't you operating? Look how easy the case will be, and then it just creates all sorts of room for problems for you. So don't order those imaging studies unless you're going to do something with those results and actually operate on them. So that's the three kind of steps in thinking about the evaluation of the patient.
When it comes to taking the patient to the operating room, what are some of the things that you're most focused on, you know, going right or worried about going wrong?
Well, we'll keep this very similar in that I have three principles. I guess it's almost four, but three principles when you think about the operation. And these are the principles that actually have been in place for parathyroid surgery for decades and decades, more than almost a century now, since the first parathyroidectomy was done. And these principles will help guide your thinking. And then all the other stuff, the bells and whistles, the technical adjuncts, which we can go into more detail, they help you achieve these goals. But at the end of the day, what I tell the residents and the fellows, when you think about parathyroid surgery, and this is going to sound really stupid and basic, but it helps me. Number one, abnormal parathyroid tissue comes out. Normal parathyroid tissue stays in. Don't hurt the nerve or any of their surrounding structures. And then I guess a fourth principle is, at the end of the case, your parathyroid hormone should be normal or on its way down to normal, and then within the first day or two after the operation, your calcium level should be down to normal. But if you adhere to those principles, you can use those other things, intraoperative ultrasound, intraoperative parathyroid hormone measurement. People use gamma probes and all these other things. You can use all those things to help, and frozen section, intraoperative parathyroid aspirates. There's all these other ways that we can talk about to help improve your chances of success. But all those things are used to help you adhere to those principles I just mentioned. And the extent of operation, because for a while the thing in vogue was to always do focused operations where you just find the gland, take it out, or find the abnormal gland, take it out, and don't go anywhere else. to the current pendulum swing where a lot more centers are now doing routine bilateral explorations. All those things are fine, but as long as you adhere to the principles, you can create the approach that kind of works best for you, depending on your own comfort, the technologies at your disposal, and what's at, you know, kind of the your institution.
Cool. I think that serves as a pretty nice preview to our discussion, and we look forward to continuing it on Wednesday. Thanks.